I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning at 6 o'clock. It is the morning show with Boomer Esiason and me, Greg Giannotti, in for the week. The Yankees continue to win. The Red Sox lose. The division is still up there, but unlikely. The Twins' magic number is one. Hey, so that is a...
Oh, here comes the boom.
It's your show, man.
Show starts at 6, boom.
So you come in late and then you abuse me.
No, I've been here since 5 o'clock. You know that.
Well, I know that, but I got
cornered in the back by the program director. He's all over me. I mean, I feel like I'm facing a 2000 Ravens defense every time I come here today.
What does he want from you?
All over me. Honey, you like working with Gio? How's he doing? He's like, I don't care. Well, what about Jeremy? Is Jeremy all right? And I'm like, oh my God, every day it's like I can't get away from it. It's like a therapy session around here.
Yeah, it is.
And with these guys on the other side of the glass, I mean, come on, let's go. Let's wake up already.
Well, what's wrong with them?
I don't know. I don't feel the dynamism.
Yesterday it was meteoric. Today it's
It's been very hard to try to do anything because the last 3 days it's been this.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm Boomer Esiason.
All right, let's go to Joey in Staten Island.
You know, by the way, it has not been that.
Oh, yes, it has.
No, it has not been that because
100%.
I told Greg yesterday, take away, go do your thing. And I thought you did that.
Yeah, I did. Monday was a different type of day. So that's why it went that way. And I think yesterday was a lot different. So, I mean, I think you say that these guys are moping around. I don't see moping around. I see happy people.
You don't know these guys. Like, I've known these guys for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, I've known Eddie for a long time. I don't know Al as well.
I know Eddie's Mr. Miserable anyway, so I'm not worried about
Eddie. Oh, yeah, that's me.
Al is just like has been like a freak show. And by the way, speaking of freak shows, holy God. I feel like I'm a ping pong ball in the middle of one of those lottery tubes.
You're talking about inside the NFL?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, I am. Did you watch it last night?
I did watch it last night, and it was about 6 or 7 minutes of Ray Lewis explaining himself, what happened in London, and then after that, him shooting back at Shannon Sharpe, who's been very critical of Ray, and you had to sit there very quietly
and respectfully because Ray deserves his time. It's such a weird time in the NFL with all the anthem protests and with the president weighing in last week and still doubling down on the whole thing and challenging the league and challenging the players and the owners and the people who supported him. And then in the midst of all of this, here are two really good friends. And two friends of mine, you know, I know Shannon Sharpe a lot better than I know Ray Lewis because I've worked with Shannon for about 7 or 8 years on ENFL Today. And I can't say enough good things about Shannon Sharpe and working with him. One of the funniest human beings I've ever met. One of the most dedicated people to his craft and knowing the league and loving the league and basically always being as high as you could possibly be in terms of attitude and performance when working with him.
Yeah.
And going out to dinner with him and friends and working out with him like he's a psychotic human being in that regard and doing flywheel with him. And it never ended with him. And
Crunch.
It was great.
Mimosas. Well, for people who don't know the backstory about
I'm going to tell you the backstory.
Right, yeah. Shannon Sharpe, critical of Ray Lewis, said he was disappointed in Ray for taking two knees or being down on knees during the national anthem in London, and Ray took major offense to that because Shannon did not reach out to him personally, and he said, you got my phone number, we're friends, you're my brother, we've known each other for a long time, and you didn't reach out to me, you're critical of me on TV, so he went back at him,
And now this is, before you get into all that between these two guys, because you know both of them well, I mean, this is where this stuff is just getting too messy.
It's getting crazy.
Now it's driving wedges in between friends, and we're losing every bit of sensibility in this whole argument.
And these are two very proud black men. Very proud black men. Let me tell you something. They're proud of their accomplishments on the field, their accomplishments off the field. They're headstrong. They're physically imposing.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm in the middle of it because I'm not, but I'm on the sidelines of it, watching it. And you can't put it in the words, just the craziness that's surrounding all of this, and just from where I sit, you know. And so anyway, if you remember, it's a couple, 3-4 weeks ago, Shannon and Ray had it out on FS1,
yep,
on Shannon's show, Undisputed. And Shannon took him to task for saying the things that he was saying about Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, because Ray Lewis is in the camp, as I understand it, of Jim Brown. Mm-hmm. Do not kneel on the flag. Don't do that. That's not how we get things done in this country. You respect that flag for all the different reasons that we all respect the flag. And I think Shannon, you know, took him to task on that. In the meantime, while Shannon and Ray were going through that, I believe Ray was trying to get Colin Kaepernick a job at the Baltimore Ravens, and was standing up for Colin behind the scenes with the owner, with the coach, and everything else. And they were all set, I think, to sign him. And maybe they should have signed him because they're having problems offensively and all that stuff. And I don't know if Joe Flacco was 100% healthy anyway. And so they got into it on FS1. And then that was the next day, unfortunately, that Colin's girlfriend, Nessa, who is the DJ here locally at Hot 97, put out this racist tweet.
Yeah, the Django Unchained picture of Bishotti and Ray Lewis juxtaposed with Samuel Jackson and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes, and that and I asked Ray on Inside the NFL two weeks ago, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, about that particular issue, and he opened up about that issue, saying how that did have a very big impact in them not signing Colin Kaepernick. And Colin Kaepernick at that time could have diffused all of that if he just would have come out and said, look, this is my girlfriend. She's emotional about all of this stuff, and she doesn't speak for me. She speaks for herself. But he never did that. You know, he never did that. So the Ravens kind of moved on. And when Ray did say that on Sunday, the NFL, now all of a sudden he was being attacked again as, you know, being anti-Colin Kaepernick, and, you know, how can you call yourself a black man and all this other stuff. It's just it's insanity, right?
It really is.
So now, basically, you fast forward to Ray and the Ravens over in London. So Ray works for the Ravens. He's you know, one of their past players, but he also has a very good relationship with the organization. He has a good relationship off the field in the city of Baltimore with a lot of people in these different communities. And he's over there, and Ray has always been, and people may find it disingenuous. I don't, because I sit next to him and I see him and I hear him and I know what he talks about. He preaches. He kind of preaches, and he always wants to give you his point of view from an emotional, heartfelt standpoint. So you have to recognize who people are when you're working with them. And yesterday was a day where he just said enough is enough, because he took two knees, not one knee, two knees in the middle of the chaos that was this game over in London on foreign soil, when nobody really knew what to do, and all anybody was talking about was what Donald Trump said and how the players are going to react to it. And his team was really affected by it, and you could see it by the way they played.
Oh, it was terrible.
They were completely out of it, and some teams are going to be more affected than others. I would always tell you that there's a proud history, and I don't want to separate the players, but just in my own perception, the black players in Baltimore that have played defense down there have a proud history, and they are proud of the way that they've played and what they've built there, whether it be under Rex Ryan, Brian Billick, or whoever else is down there as their defensive coordinators, and John Harbaugh for that matter. There's a pride in the history that is a part of that franchise, and he's a part of that franchise. And Shannon was a part of that franchise when they won the Super Bowl back in 2000. And to watch these two guys now go back and forth, and Ray feeling that he has been unjustly accused of doing things that he is not doing and saying things that he has not said, but has lived the life of walking the streets in protest while Shannon hasn't.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
And so when you heard Ray's soliloquy yesterday, you heard it from the heart. I mean, me and Phil were like, holy crap, I couldn't imagine being in the locker room with this guy during the game. And I remember why I retired from the game.
because of guys like him?
No, it was him. My last game was against him.
Yep.
And I remember walking off the field with him. And that was back in 1997. I said, holy crap, I have never seen somebody so fast, so violent, so intense in my life. And I tried to compare him to Mike Singletary because that's who I remember as being that middle linebacker.
Intense.
He was on another level, dude. He was frightening on the field.
So not an eye roll for you yesterday with the one knee, two knee thing and
no,
the semantics
because
of that?
Because I know Ray. Now, the other thing I will tell you, that the reason he did that as well as the rest of the league reacted the way they did to it is because the president opened Pandora's box on Friday night. That's, you have to understand that. You have to understand how people read that. And I was just like, you know, it was predictable what happened over the weekend. And when I saw Ray on the two knees, I'm saying, oh, he's sitting there praying. He's praying. And he prays in the eyes of chaos. And I'm sure his life has been filled with a lot of chaos, both as a professional player and as a kid growing up without a father, which he often speaks of, and how his mom would pray for the life of him and his, I guess, his family members. I mean, it's serious. That's who he – I can't sit there and look at that guy and say that he's not serious, because he is serious, and it's coming from the heart.
So you think that you're more on the Ray Lewis side right now than Shannon Sharpe?
I gave all the players this week
– right.
I don't want to say a pass.
But you understood
I just understood how the whole league reacted. I understood that. I would never give Colin Kaepernick and Marshawn Lynch and Marcus Peters a pass, never, because I think what they're doing and what they have done is completely disrespectful. But this past weekend, I get it. I also, because of the job that I have and because of the people that I sit next to, whether it be Nate Burleson or James Brown, or in this case, Ray Lewis or Charles Barkley, who came in this past week, I understand the argument that they are making, and I understand the passion in their heart. So I'm respectful of that. And I hear what they're saying. I'm not just, turning my head to it. And I want to listen to what they're saying. And they want to listen to what I'm saying. And the great thing about my job is that I work with people who are smart enough to understand that there is going to be blowback or there's going to be a dissenting opinion in this regard. And we could still like each other, or in this case, for me and James Brown and for the guys that I've worked with long enough, love each other for what we do.
Yeah. Do you think at this point, though, that what happened this past weekend and now some of the conversations coming out of it is going to move this thing forward where
I don't know what it's going to move forward, but I would tell you
But that's really, I mean, if we're just spinning our wheels here and we're having guys.
We're not, because again, if we're talking about police brutality, which is where this whole thing started with Colin Kaepernick, everybody forgets what Colin Kaepernick was doing the first time that he did it in preseason. He was sitting on the bench and it was about police brutality. He wore the police pig socks in practice. And he used his forum in those regards to highlight what he believed was a real problem. And I don't know what it's morphed into now, because there's 97 different people outside of Colin Kaepernick that are all got their hands on him and that are attaching their agendas to him, whether it be illegal immigration, whether it be police brutality, social injustice, equality. All of that stuff now is all a part of the Colin Kaepernick protest when it comes to the American flag and the anthem. So I don't know where we are in this day and age. But just to finish my other point was, I just hope that two friends don't get lose their friendship over something like this. Because number one, because of who they are and because of their background, because of their skin color, you would think that they would be allies and they would be on the same team and they would love each other, even though they may disagree, and not make each other be the subject matter of their TV scorn just for ratings. I hope that's not the case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I hope that they
seem passionate and genuine, both of them.
They are. I'm just saying. But I just hope that they don't lose their friendship over something like this, that, you know, they actually feel very similar. Just it's about how they're going about getting their words across and how they're getting their message across that they differ on, it seems like to me. So I just hope that they become friends, renew that spirited relationship that they've always had. You know, in the Super Bowl that the lights went out in New Orleans, we had it on CBS. Ray Lewis was in that Super Bowl. Shannon Sharpe interviewed Ray Lewis in the pregame show, and I sat next to Shannon and I saw the interview before it went before it went on to television. I told Shannon, "Look, you asked him a question about the murders in Atlanta. I don't like the answer, and I'm telling you, America is not going to buy that answer. So I have to. I got to. When you come out of this, I got to say something. Mm-hmm. You know that,
right?"
And he goes, "No, I understand. It's TV. You got to do what you got to do." So Shannon understands. I said, because I always had a thing with the guys that I work with. Let's not get personal. if there's something that's personal, let's talk about it before we go on the air, because I don't ever want to get into a situation where we are completely mad at each other and the viewer is watching that. Because the viewer doesn't want that. The viewer wants dissenting opinions, but they also, I think it's important for us on a set, especially the NFL today or the inside the NFL, that we get along, that we understand that we can both have different opinions without getting angry at one another and try to, you know, beat up each other. And I've always had that relationship with almost all the guys that I work with, maybe with the exception of Deion Sanders, who that's a whole nother story.
Right.
And that's why I say, you know, I'm not trying to be flippant about it or anything, but, you know, I don't have CTE from playing football. I have CTE from covering football. It's, you know what I'm saying? Because it's the heavy lifting over the last 5 years has been insane.
Yeah.
And this just goes right and part and parcel to it. So that's where I sit. That's how I feel. And
yeah. Well, guys, do something funny with that, huh?
Yeah. There's nothing
funny. Why'd you guys stay quiet that whole time, huh?
But I don't know what. Yeah. But I don't know what's going to happen this weekend.
Where were the drops?
Yeah.
Al, come on, man. Where were you?
But this is an important discussion to have, right?
No, it
really is.
Yeah.
And I don't know, and I have no idea what's going to happen this weekend. I don't know what the players are going to do this weekend.
It's going to start tomorrow night, I think.
I don't know if the players are totally okay with what's going on now. I will say there is major, major blowback from a lot of places. And you and I saw this yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, but you know, DirecTV is offering
refunds
to people who are disgusted by this. I think it was the American Veterans through the American Legion put out a statement yesterday, scathing statement towards the players and the disrespect towards the anthem in their eyes. And this is where I go back to my initial thought that with Colin Kaepernick in a San Francisco 49er uniform in their stadium, basically using that platform for his personal agenda, no matter what you feel about the First Amendment, what you feel about somebody's passion and righteousness that they may have in their heart, he's a paid employee of the 49ers. And last year he was paid $14 to $16 million to play quarterback for them. And the people that buy those tickets come to those stadiums to watch them play football. And I don't care if you're Muslim, Catholic, Jewish, agnostic. I said this yesterday. White, black, Asian, Indian. It doesn't matter. When you put that uniform on for your team, you're all one. And we all want to be entertained. And we're buying tickets to watch you play a football game so we can really forget about all the crap in our life. We want to be entertained. And then when you show up and you see this, you're going to get blowback. You're going to get a lot of blowback from a lot of people. Yeah, there's going to be people that support you. There'll be one congresswoman or one senator that may get on the knee in the halls down there in Washington, D.C., and that's the one person that garners all the headlines. I get it. But the far majority of people are disgusted by it because they want to go and watch a football game. They don't want to get into a political debate with the people standing next to them or with the players, and that's why the players are being booed. And that's why coming out of this weekend, players like Ben Roethlisberger, Eric Decker, you know, basically feel bad that they didn't stand for the national anthem like they normally did. And they've come out and said that. And I think that there will now be a schism in the locker rooms across the NFL because there will be a lot of people that are going to get hammered on social media for not having the balls to stand out there for the national anthem. So that's where we sit right now. And I can only hope that the players come to their senses and go out and play great football and entertain a football fan base that truly, really wants that. They don't want the politics.
Well, coming up next, Jerry's going to have some of that Ray Lewis audio if you did not hear it. And I truly believe that John Mara was listening to this show yesterday morning because shortly after he repeated something that we said almost to the word by word, to the New York Post.
All right, well, good. 6:18 on the Fan. It's Boomer and Greg in the morning. Sorry, I took over 15 minutes of that. But, Eddie, maybe you are right. Maybe blah, 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 blah. All right, so I'll shut up the next segment. How's that?
Awesome.
Great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.